the larger sewer bond, revenue bond, that we refinanced in 2005. While that's going around, basically I laid in here for the capital projects just whatever was off the draft of sewer comp plan. It's in then year dollars. Not only has applied inflation to those numbers, and so we also show on the revenue side just a couple of assumptions.
Are we going to be using the screen anymore, or can we turn the lights back on? Yeah, for some of our older folks here, more light is better.
I know this page is just, you know, full of numbers, and you probably want to go to sleep, but just there, I'll point out the highlights. Let's talk about some of the revenue assumptions. The sewer connection charges assumes our current in-ordinance connection fee for sewer, but I have assumed a 20% discount for the already existing residential discounts available for density and distance from the wastewater treatment plant. So we're assuming a 20% discount on every connection, but there are no price increases on the connection fee. That whatever's in place now stays all the way out to 2022 is the assumption. On the rate revenue side, in ordinance, we do have for this year, for those invoices going out June 30th, we do have a 6.5% rate increase. And after that, so starting in 2012, we revert to the cost of living, the Seattle cost of living. My assumption is that cost of living over the long haul will be 3% a year. Also recurring operational administrative costs, I've assumed generally a 3% increase each year. We maintain three operators at the wastewater treatment plant forever. And then, like I said, laying in the capital expenditures per the draft sewer comp plan, I've done that. I have not included any additional road project related sewer cost. If there's some of that in the comp plan, but I don't believe that, for example, church road construction is, I don't have any sewer cost in there for the church road or other major road projects. And this finance plan looks at two different bond issues. One in 2012, we might even accelerate that into 2011. For $5 million. That basically covers fairly heavy capital expenditures 2011, 12, and 13, over $5 million of capital expenditures in the near term. And then we kind of coast along till 2019 for a $4 million bond issue to coincide with the sewer plant expansion. I think it was phase three or phase something three. In 2019. So, in conclusion, look at the sewer cash balance line, which is near the bottom of your page. We show the projected cash balance. 2011 looks a little hairy. It's in the red, but just slightly. And then we maintain positive cash. And with cash balances negative of $350,000, my assumption is we can spread and rephase some of these capital items to make sure we have adequate working capital. And then there's some totals at the far right-hand column for these 12 years.
Is there any additional labor figured into this? Or I don't know if there's more. You know, I'm looking at
no.
Some of the... Okay, well, looking at some of the things that are these even on? You can probably hear me.
I mean, there's no additional labor hours. We have cost escalation for wage increases, medical insurance, that sort of thing.
I wasn't sure if there should be figuring in additional employees. I mean, looking at some of these programs that you want to implement about having sewer inspections, I can't imagine doing that without having additional employees. So shouldn't at some point, if you're going to follow this plan, there be an addition of employees? under administration?
My assumptions will find efficiencies, so we don't have to add, but I'll let our public works director answer that.
Okay. And, you know, that's something that we're going to have to take a look at as part of this update. This identifies the needs. Per the WAC, we're not required to include a financial plan. The financial plan is kind of a second step. And so this is just kind of a preliminary plan so that we get kind of some idea on where we are at. So this year there are going to be additional discussions at committee meetings, and we'll be coming back to the city council. So this is just kind of our first look, but the point you make is definitely valid.
Mm-hmm. So then you decide which of those which things you plan to follow through mm-hmm. with. And so obviously there's a good chance of this changing over there.
Yeah, because it's kind of like with the transportation, we have the transportation element, and now Yori's working on developing our traffic impact fees. Well, this identifies our needs. Next step then is the financial plan. This is just a very preliminary look.
Okay, I'm just looking at those numbers in mm-hmm. red and thinking, boy, and then you start adding in a couple more employees.
Yeah, so we'll be taking a pretty close look at that.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Mark? What is happening with the bond market? Are interest rates kind of staying the same from the last bond issue we had? Are they going up?
We went out in June of last year, as you remember. We went to Build America Bonds, which was actually a taxable bond, but the federal government pays one-third of the interest that we have to pay our investors. So it's equivalent to a muni bond. Non-taxable, you know, mini bond. I believe our bond guy Dave Tregerser has said that deteriorated a bit from a year, you know, from June.
What do you mean by deteriorated?
Higher interest rates to us. Oh, okay. That's bad. That's deterioration.
is the interest buy down program still there? Is it on the chopping block like everything else?
The Build America bonds went away.
Yeah.
But again, it was pretty equivalent to mini bonds, anyway.
Well, what I'm getting at is, I was wondering if there's an advantage to us interest wise to do it this year, the $5 million instead of next year.
Well, I would recommend that if you buy into the plan and you think these capital projects are, and we, you know, as presented, they are necessary. So we kind of got to get a start because we got $1.3 million in capital planned this year. And then $2 million the next, and 2.3 the 2013. And again, typically, depending, you got 3 years to spend it. If it's a general obligation bond, we'd probably go with a revenue bond, which is paid for by the utility funds. Although general obligation is typically a lower interest rate slightly, but we have to look at our general obligation debt ceiling to see how we're looking.
Well, what percentage rate did you use to calculate your payback dollars?
5%, and we'll probably do better than that.
Where is it reflected, Mark, that you just stated the large project we're doing here in 2011?
Well, in the middle rows, there's this capital expenditures listed there.
One three one five?
That one, yeah.
Okay.
It adds all those ones above it. And so in those five categories, we've just laid that in: general telemetry, miscellaneous maintenance, sewer collection, sewer pump stations, and vehicle and heavy mobile equipment, wastewater treatment plant, and sewer comp plan. So we just kind of laid it in exactly as presented.
What part of the whole maintenance and operations, how much of that is electrical? The pump stations, power pump?
We actually have a row for that. If you look at the left-hand column, it's outlined in orange. Well, it's kind of a sewer color. It's not really orange, but
sewer.
PSC. Yeah, PSC. We laid in there $150,000 a year this year, $156,000 the next. It's a 4% increase. That's the assumption. Yeah, it's a big cost element, so we listed it separately.
Your biosolids disposal, where that's at?
It'd be in the operations number. ops, all other expenditures. Yeah, it's buried in there. For 2011, it's $423,000.
So between the two of those, there, that's $500,000 right there.
There you go. Yeah. That's a chunk of money.
Expenditures, latecomers. What's, how's that implied? Because latecomers, I would think, would be money coming in versus...
Yeah, it's both. We get taken money. It's hit and miss. You know, those 15-year latecomer agreements, somebody puts in a sewer line, then, you know, other people want to hook up. Those folks that hook up pay us money. We get to keep, I think, 4%, and then we pay out to the original person that did that work.
Well, you pay out?
Okay. Money comes in on the revenue side. We pay out on the expense side here. It's rare. It doesn't happen every year.
Yeah.
But we had some in 2010. Yep.
Now, is anything in here, Mel mentioned the surcharge for the collector, Southwest collector. Is that itemized in this document here?
It is. It's up near the top on the left-hand side, the connection fees and then the sewer connection fees, Southwest Sewer Interceptor at $1,333, assuming 45% of the collections, new customer connections are in that zone. So we put that in. Yeah.
Okay. So that,
it's kind of all in here.
$53,000, that is it this year?
Yeah, it's a forecast. Yep.
Okay.
It was a forecasting 86 total new connections. At the bottom there, we see the 86 new customer growth. Because we did grow 3% in 2010, 2011 predicting a 2% growth in customers, and then it does go back to the assumption of 3% growth for the next 10 years there. I think generally it balances if you maybe accelerate that bond and watch our timing on our capital projects. Then if you can squeeze zone and keep running with three operators at the plant, that's the assumption here.
No? Floyd mentioned the surcharge on the essentially Churchill property. Does that ever go away?
Doesn't look like it.
No. The Southwest Sewer Interceptor?
Yeah.
That stays in place.
We didn't put a sunset clause on that.
No, not to my knowledge, not in the ordinance.
It should in some year.
Well, yeah. Why would it be fair for them to pay for that and then continue to pay for that later? I would think that because, as I recall, it was about $1.5 million project.
To confirm that, it's certainly well over $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Had that all up.
That we should be at least tracking what has come in with that, and at some point in time, including cost of money, because the interest would be there at probably 4%, maybe 5%.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like the toll bridge, like the 520 toll bridge in Seattle. They eventually tore down those toll booths, but now they're putting a toll back on.
Yeah.
You don't even need a toll booth. It just looks at your license plate, takes a picture.
Well, my point being that once the Southwest Sewer is paid off, that the monies that are going to be collected for that ought to be spread throughout the entire community, not just from that isolated customer base.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the numbers between 2019 and 2022, they are $600,000 right there. That's $1.2 million. You're right. There's some equity there that seems to be fairness, you know.
Eventually, yeah.
Of course, then we have to maintain that pipe.
Yeah, but you got to maintain all of the pipes that have ever been put in.
Yes, right? We do. Well, I'm just.
And we have to fill them separately.
We'll keep track of that so we can tell you when we should stop. No, I need to set something up to track
that. It's a fee that the treasurer does not want to give up.
Yeah.
This is a pretty daunting document. I was a little surprised not to see an executive summary. Is that something we can maybe incorporate into it? Thank you.
Well, the bulk of a lot of it's maps. I mean, really, it's like you're looking at this. rest of it is pictures and information about each of the sewer pump stations.
Is there a summary of projects, which is really what we really need?
Any questions?
I have a question for Melanie or just Andy or whoever wants to chime in. You know, looking in the solids that we have to process, and how many solids per gallon and all that stuff. The idea of garbage disposal is just the educational process. If we put the word out that, you know, don't put everything down there, because if you take it out of the flow system and put it in your garbage and it gets hauled away, we're educating people that they don't have to. They can help us have them not pay for it twice. So they're paying for the solid waste that they're taking out, but to put everything in my house too. I'm always going with my wife's thing. You know, put everything down there. Put it in the garbage.
That is everything but dishes and silverware.
Yeah, well, I've had to fish some of those out. It seems like a public education thing is to keep as many solids out. I mean, there's stuff that should be there, but to use the garbage disposal, you know, for everything else that you can throw down there, it's expensive.
Were you asking if we have, like, a public outreach?
If you've ever heard of such a thing.
Familiar with that?
There's been some cities that have outlawed them, and some cities haven't.
Outlawed garbage?
Really? Yeah. There's been cities that have outlawed.
A little brief education on what's so bad about
them? Yeah, get down the
Even when I was a little kid, we've always had them.
Well,
so what's the
I don't know. They make money for a lot of plumbers.
Yes, that's what they do.
What's the negative for the system with having?
Because most of what goes through garbage disposal, most of what should go through garbage disposal, I realize people put a lot of extra stuff. Could be easily composted. Doesn't even need to go in the garbage stream.
Yeah.
It could be easily composted. It's just too convenient to put it down the kitchen sink.
Yeah. Well,
so before we go to you, we'll go to Paul.
No, but what's bad about
sanitary
that is volume.
Sanitary service has cans that they'll bring out.
Right, they have one.
Put all your compostable stuff in, and they take it to the big community compost pile.
Yeah.
For people that don't have a compost area in their own backyards. You've got one.
We have one of those bins, but I've always used them for like my milk containers and my, I don't put in like my weeds. But we have a garbage disposal I put.
The basic premise is, if you want to know, a garbage disposal is kind of a luxury item. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't need it. It's not necessary at all.
And it overloads the
water. What is it?
I don't have one.
I've had it my whole, like, even as a kid. So, when I go to a house that doesn't have one, I'm like, what do you
think? I plumbed them. I plumbed them out of my sister-in-law's place. I plumbed them out of my mom's house.
Yeah.
Just got tired of unclogging it.
Yeah, they
get. Really?
Hey, I put the switch, nothing happens. Yeah, I took it out. You don't deserve it.
Yeah. It's the reset.
No more free plumbing calls for you.
So people are putting wrong things down there, and it's causing problems to the system?
You know what the main problem is?
No, I don't.
I'll tell you a plumber's thing. Yeah, the main problem is you don't realize is what you grind up in the disposal has to go all the way to the street on your line because you're not flushing a toilet or anything. So the water you're using to move that waste has to take that waste to out of your system into the street.
And you pay
most
for
people
that
just
too.
Go, you watch them and you go, oh, okay, it's gone. Boom, shut the water off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought the water system ran a bit afterwards, right?
Until stop making funny noises.
So you get the fork out.
All right, we're getting off the subject. I'll let our expert comment. No more plumber.
Oh, I don't think
okay. So the disadvantage or the problem that garbage disposals have for cities is primarily Old Bellingham, for example, is trying to cut down on the amount of organic material in their wastewater because that's what's driving their immediate upgrade issues, and so they are supposedly aggressively trying to educate people not to use their garbage disposals, but not implying an ordinance. So that would be very difficult to do in a city of 80,000 people, an existing city. So anyway, they're getting a little bit, I think already they're starting to get a little bit disappointed in the results of that because it's not getting them with a whole lot of decreased organic material so far in their system. They're still going to have to upgrade. So they're not that. I guess I would say they're still pushing it, but you know it's not fixing anything per se. So, but that's the biggest issue is all the organic material that's in the system, which could cause your plant to have to be upgraded sooner than later. Plus, like you said, the solids too. A lot of it gets digested and goes up into the air as gas, but there's still some of it that stays in there and has to be dug or dredged out and hauled away.
You bring up a good point, though. I know Mike would jump in here. I think a bigger problem is fogs and fats, oils, and grease, because we've let so many restaurants come with no grease trap.
Yeah.
There's probably a tavern without a grease trap.
Yes.
It's high temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah, the high temperature dishwashers.
No, fogs are
grease
in
the solution
problem.
And then sends
it
down and it cools and lines the pipes. It's like kitty litter. People put kitty litter down the sink. That's the
city of Eastern Washington. Had a real issue with fats, oils, and greases to the point where, in order to do a short-term fix, they started using biologicals. And
yeah, those are microbes they add to
that
help
actually
digest
eat the grease.
Emulsify.
But,
not emulsify, just kind of digest them, you know, metabolize the grease.
But they did have an ordinance on the books to require restaurants to have grease traps. And as they, you know, they're just in the last couple of months, have been enforcing the ordinance that they haven't been enforcing for years, and it's making a big difference.
You got to get that system down. It's still too expensive, where, you know, separates the grease right there in the spot so they can reuse it automatically.
No.
That system is too expensive.
Those nibblers?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would clean that in.
Well, yeah, but.
Because that's the kind of stuff.
And if we get grease traps, then we have to have a grease rack inspection and pumping regimen. It's always something.
Any last questions? Have our next step on this is we have a public hearing scheduled for March 7th for the adoption of our comp plan update.
So we got a couple more minutes. Any more questions before the experts leave? Lloyd?
Remember Mike. Mike, in here, it talks about the B solids. Taking off the B solids. Well, is there such thing as an A solid? Is that what do you take out of the Archimedes screw and when you haul like the rags and the primary stuff that goes to the garbage? What percent of the solids is that? Yeah. All kinds of stuff that gets in the system. Okay.
This says draft on it. How much do you see this changing, or is it going to change much?
We're going to add executive summary.
Take off draft.
And I think we're pretty close here. But
I noticed there's a couple of things in here where there's pages like this that say information coming later or something.
Uh huh. Yep. And so then we'll be adding that. But I think we're pretty close. We'll have this online and see if we get any public comments on it. And so then we'll take a look at those public comments and see if we need to make any changes or additions.
Connie?
Okay. Will it go through the committee again rather than coming back here for the final? How does
no,
that work?
Just go. I would say this just would go to the public hearing.
Yeah, well,
it will just come to public hearing. Okay.
Well, I'm just rather stunned and to hear that Washington State does not require grease traps in everything.
It's a local ordinance. Yeah.
That's mind-boggling. We didn't run a restaurant. We ran a catering company, and every commercial kitchen of any kind in California is inspected twice a year. Cost me $50 every time. Make sure that grease trap was working right. Mm-hmm. Clean it out. Every single commercial kitchen.
We could
and Washington
it.
State
know,
doesn't do that?
No,
holy moly.
That it's in the code, and certainly it's always been part of the plumbing code, but in terms of mandatory inspection of grease traps, I don't think anyone walking down.
God.
I know Bellingham.
Like the
they talked about
the
it.
That's just the food license people?
Well, we can always.
Now they have talked about, Paul, is going backwards when they had, because they had a clog that shut down downtown Bellingham. And they did talk about, okay, when that grease shut down downtown Bellingham, they thought about going backwards. And they did a little bit that, didn't they?
I'm not familiar with that.
I think they went backwards and just, you know.
Or figure out where it came
from. Yeah. I don't know where they went to mandatory. You're correct, but that's a tough one. Because as a counselor, you'd have to make that determination of, okay, every restaurant, and I mean, when we're doing new restaurants now, and they're producing it, we're requiring it. But the retrofits, we don't have any programs.
Right, and in our comp plan for this year, we were hoping to at least, you know, take a look at starting up a fats, oil, and grease program. So that was one of our priorities for this year.
Okay, any more questions? We got 10 minutes. We can take a 10-minute break. Okay.
Okay, all right. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate your comments. Thank you
very much.
You don't get the financing, you get the financing a little higher interest.
Yeah, that's probably lower interest rate than the bank. That's what I used to work with the
find a bank that will be outside.
In their back office. So all I ever had to do before was work in their back office. You know, that's enough to not
work out. Do you want the long
haul of traffic? I don't want to take
77 degrees is the average temperature in Dubai, ranging from 15 to 118.
There we go. There we go. 77 is nice.
That sounds perfect.
I'm an astronaut.
Well, that's actually, yeah, that's yeah, that's the bias.
I'm surprised about
this. Well, I didn't think they'd have 5 minutes
to
speak together, but Abu Dhabi is
the
in our
particular
scenario.
Well, in this case, it would be here.
Yeah, 50 to 50 humidity.
What was it?
50 to 55 humidity. Yeah, humidity level. No, the humidity level remains between 50 and 55.
Maybe it feels like 100.
Well, maybe. I'll bet for a small amount is that it occasionally hit that. But it's not like the south.
No, it's not.
Well, yeah. I've gone to some place. Yeah. Do they have any that works? I'm not sure if it works. I think a bunch of
all those ones that are inconspicuous. Scorpions.
Nice. I saw you. I saw you getting a text
on the Scorpion?
Oh, okay.
Scorpion is an insect. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's scorpions.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I thought I was driving over there. Where then? Well, I'm forever in there, you know.
That is true.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much in the city that maybe we can get out to the desert. There's, I would have said scorpions.
Same, that was the same. Well, same, yeah, we, you know, we saw scorpions in the east.
Yeah.
But we saw snakes, but only out of the desert.
And that would be my thing, more out of the desert.
And those little, you don't get yourself bit by one of those little. About that long. There is no antidote because each snake has a different venom.
Wow.
Snakes. Anyway, we didn't see any. We just saw the tracks in the sand. I remember getting off the boat on the Nile at 113. This is hot. And we're on a boat and we're crying out loud. That's 113. You didn't have to worry about the breeze, that what they call the wind chill factor.
You didn't have a bunch of slaves going like this?
Moving air brought it down to 98.
Hey, Gary, aren't there agendas for them back there? They can just get the names and get these stuff.
Middle guy.
Anyway.
What? No, get away from
this. What time of year was that?
April.
I've been in hot weather. Well, Sacramento.
This guy says, put us on dry heat. The tile's bursting in the
so floor. So hot.
It's hot.
He's going about ready to hit the bell.
I know. Got 20 seconds. Got a lot done in 20 seconds.
Well, I think.
There's a lot to do.
I think 3 years. You know, you're just there 3 years.
And I know I'm coming back. Oh, my gosh, the picture's like.
I think you need to put, put the keyboard between the bowls and put your hands underneath. Oh, it's way quieter. This one is way better.
Very modern, too.
That's true.
Call the meeting order. I'll be right. Okay, our clerk will now take the roll call.
Here.
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 Here. Okay, I'll present count four. Thanks, counsel. Now, this next up is our public comment period. This is for a chance for the audience to come to the speaker's rostrum and talk about anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything you'd like to address the council, anything you'd like to say, sing, do a tap dance. Anyone want to come forward?
We don't do singing.
Get extra credit.
7:45.
Little known fact. Why does he not look like he plays in that? Welcome, sir.
I hope I don't get extra deep credit.
that might depend.
We had...
Name, sir?
Oh, Johnny Grains from Bellingham. And we had... there was a League of Women Voters forum that's playing on BTV10 about the new jail. And that was the second one where they included the public. Most of the people were from the Law and Justice Council, which is Mr. Jensen is on it, I believe. And they've been planning this new jail for 7 or 8 years. And there's supposedly two sites, but one site is impractical, so the site by Slater Road and the highway, which is close to your utilities, city of Ferndale, will obviously be the site. And what it looks like is, of course, this huge company called HDR, they already got $1 million in consulting fees. And so what it looks like from, if you watch the tapes of these two meetings, $50 million increments, 600 to 800 beds. So, and a profile like, so they can make extensions out from the center. And so that would be 3 times 50 million ultimately. That's 150 million. And then the other thing is that so 800 times 3 is 2,400,000. Okay, I'm not too good at math. And so that looks. There's one more thing. The Democratic citizen opposition or trying to get right-sized jail have these really impressive women on it, and you're going to have a vacancy here on the city council, and they're in your neighborhood, and they're the right-sized jail in, I think, the rural avenue, and I hope you consider them. They're very impressive.
Thank you, sir. Okay, anyone else to address the council on any subject tonight, or anyone? No? No takers? Okay, thank you. Council, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, move and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up is our public hearing on the official zoning map tech correction ordinance. That's a mouthful. And I think Ryan Morrison will present. Welcome, Ryan.
Good evening, everyone. Apparently back in 2010 when we were looking at doing some rezones out around the the Main Street area, there was an area, the Ferndale Town Center, that owns two properties, one of which was slated to be zoned a mixed-use commercial, but it was zoned gateway development, I believe. We're looking at just correcting that tonight. You already prepared a staff report, which addressed the reasons why. And tonight's a public hearing, just to go through the proper steps to get the public notification out there to see if there are any public comments on the rezone. Originally, it was the intent of the city council, city staff, and planning commission to rezone it such as what's proposed tonight. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Questions for staff before we go to public hearing? Councilperson Goodrich?
I am confused of what we're rezoning because the map here is not in color.
Hard to see.
And it doesn't look any different than what's over here in red and whatever that light green color is, I guess. So I'm confused of what the actual change is.
That light green that you see there on the color map behind Councilmember Zimmerman?
Yes.
To the right of the I-5?
Right here.
That one. The skinny red piece right below that.
Up which one up. Here? That first? Right here. First one.
Just below it, yeah. Mr. Musler's got it. That's the one. It's under the same ownership, the two properties. We'd be bringing the red zoned property into the green zoned property. Into a mix.
So just the top red will become
correct.
Green.
Yep. That's overall part of the applicant's Ferndale Town Center binding site plan, which is slated to be one whole development. It shares stormwater facilities for the overall property and can make sense to maintain it the same zoning.
Okay, I was confused on that.
Okay, any other questions for staff?
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
I noticed in the ordinance that the date of February 16th, 2011 was in the ordinance. I don't know if you want to change that to tonight's for the city council public hearing.
Bottom of the ordinance?
Yeah.
Oh, so you already put 16?
So you put 16.
Yeah, we can just change
just
that.
I just wanted to put that.
That's not material to the ordinance itself, so it can be.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know.
Okay, any more questions, staff, before we go to the public hearing? Nope, seeing none? Okay, thanks, Ryan.
Right, thanks.
Okay, this is a public hearing. It's a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. If you intend to speak, it's necessary that you sign in on the sign-up sheet available at the counter located at the back of the council chambers. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to beginning the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Proceed to the speaker's rostrum. Microphone clear to state your name and address. If you are speaking as a representative for another person or organization, so state. State whether you're a proponent, opponent, or neither. Limit your comment to 3 minutes after all comments are heard. If you have something to add that has not already been stated, at the discretion of the mayor, you may give an additional 2 minutes. There will be no demonstration during or at the conclusion of anyone's presentation. During the public testimony period of the public hearing, the council staff and the audience will remain silent. After your presentation, council members may wish to ask you questions. After the last person has spoken, the hearing will be closed and the council will enter into regular session. The subject of the hearing will usually appear as an agenda item for council discussion, decision, or referral. The audience may not comment during the council's deliberations unless questioned by the council for clarification. These rules are intended to promote an orderly system of holding a public hearing to give every person an opportunity to be heard and ensure that no individual is embarrassed by exercising the right to free speech. So we have one person signed up, Mr. Doug Robertson. Welcome, Mr. Robertson.
Good evening, Mayor.
He's against it. Doug Robertson, 900 DuPont. First of all, I apologize for being dressed informally. I was not able to get home and put on the tie like I had planned on. And I will shock everyone, especially Mr. Young. I'll keep it very short. I represent the property owner, Ferndale Town Center, and we're in favor of this change. Thank you very much.
Wow.
It should be noted that that might be the quickest presentation by a representative of the legal counsel. Probably a new record.
Thank you.
Must be doing this pro bono.
I love it. Okay, anyone else wish to speak on this? No. Okay. I'll close the public hearing. Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the quote-unquote technical correction to the zoning as just described to us by. There you go.
I'll second
works,
that.
Works for me.
Okay. Moved and seconded by Councilperson Feria.
Councilperson Malpezzi.
I just had a quick technical question. I think it's towards Sam. Are we amending the old ordinance, or are we passing a new ordinance to replace the old one?
You're amending the previous ordinance.
Okay, all right.
Okay, any further discussion from council? Okay, move to second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, we're rolling. Capital improvement project update. We'll start with police station. Administrator Young.
Yes, the demolition bids are out in the market, so to speak. We're having contractors contact Michael Cole, who's taking them on a tour of the facility. If you remember, this is the partial demolition, more of a strategic demolition to expose the framing members in anticipation of our bid for the entire remodel. The anticipation is that we would actually come back on March 7th and award the demolition bid, which is a very short project, and then after that we will go out to the market for the remodel and reconstruction of the facility into the police station.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
No. Let me get this straight. We have zero records. It even's our building. We built it. We have no records, no photographs, no nothing of its...
of its construction methodology? Not that we were able to find that was particularly useful.
Yeah, we have the as-built, but the as-built didn't show detail and
no blueprints, no...
Yeah, and the as-built, unfortunately, depending on the time of the year, what have you, but some as-built are better than others, and these as-built were not necessarily good enough to give you an idea of what the structural integrity, what's behind the walls. That's really what the contractors are going to want. Since if we were just demolitioning this building and building something brand new, we wouldn't go through this process. But since we're literally taking the old and attaching new to it, it's important to know how everything's attached so we can be sure that not only do we bring it up to current codes when it comes to seismic, but we're able to do it in an efficient manner. And with contracting, it's all about risk. The more risk there is, the less you know what's behind the wall, what's under the slab, the more you build into your bid for contingency or unknowns. So what we're trying to do is lower the amount of uncertainty and anxiety for the bidders so they can really sharpen their pencil. We can hopefully get better bids than we would if it was more of a mystery.
Well, I asked that. I went through some of my old photographs, and being the next-door neighbor, I found photographs that I had snuck over as a nosy neighbor and took pictures of it in the building process. So, you know, where the concrete block was, and all the framing. And
mm-hmm. Well, that actually might be useful.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Did I hear you say we don't have the blueprints from that building when it was built?
We have the blueprints, and we have the as-built. The as-built really don't show the amount of detail we think we need to remodel. In fact, Michael Cole, our construction manager, thinks that they built different as to what the as-built show. He thinks the upper structure, he said, I don't think this is what they didn't build what they said they were going to build.
Yeah.
Which happens. I mean, people will change things on site. In this case, none of us were there.
But it could become customary for us to, you know, buildings change. We reuse buildings many times, and so to have these records in the future going forward, even of this job, you know.
Yeah, you try it, but and there's kind of a mysterious slab that's in the building that they're not really even sure why it's there or how it's being held up. So it's going to be real interesting to do this demolition to kind of see how the heck they put this thing together.
None of us were there. Councilperson Goodrich.
We go out, get the guys to cut the holes and do all the things, and then they go, when are we as a council going to see the drawings, the proposed layout, square footages, and things like that? It seems like that keeps getting put off, and we're doing other things and make the decision on what we're going to actually end up building there.
Yeah, I would say that probably 95-98% of what is going to be proposed to build, you've seen as far as layout and what rooms next to each other and the size of the rooms. The police department is going through and changing minor things, like, you know, a door that opens one way or another way, or some of the electrical outlets, real, real minor issues. The biggest potential change is going to be after the demolition phase, when we find out perhaps some of these areas that they're not exactly sure how it's constructed. That may change not so much the square footage,
but the methodology. So from a square footage standpoint, the square footage as you've seen is I would say, pretty much what you're going to get.
I thought we were going to get three options.
Right. But
I keep hearing them saying, well, we're going to go with this, and yep. I keep the three options that we were supposed to be presented.
Right. Those will be in there.
Two or whatever it is.
Well, the motion was, excuse me, may I be recognized? Thank you. The motion was to proceed with the total building with an alternates, and it was a plural, alternates that would bring it down to approximately 15,000 square feet. And as I understand, that's still in the...
Yeah. The right now the plans are for the full 18,000, whatever it is, with deductive alternates. Sometimes most alternates are addition. How much more to do this? How much more to do that? And then you decide whether you want those alternates. These are deductive alternates, and there's four of them. One will be for the storage for the van, the van garage, if you will, for our communications van. The other will be for the sally port, which is that structure that you drive into, put the gates down, let the bad guys out into the building so they don't run away. The third is the large evidence storage, which is where we, if we ever impound vehicles, where the vehicles can be brought inside and secured. And the fourth is the EOC training room. For the most part, if you remember the diagrams, these are all appendages, so to speak. They're all on the outside of the building. So what we're really doing is saying, we want this building here, but what if we don't want that corner or don't want this corner? So those deductive alternates have the possibility of bringing the bids, but well, they will bring the bids down below what the full enchilada would be. And then we'll leave it up to all of you as to whether you feel the bids are good enough to include everything or whether the bids are so high that you do want to look at some of these deductions.
If you remember recently, that the greatest example that we have that recent receipts was the Pioneer Pavilion. And so all the contractors bid Pioneer Pavilion with alternatives A, B, C. And then we looked at the bid and said, wow, looks like we can afford all these alternatives. Let's pick A. Mm-hmm. So that's the most recent example. So you're not going to know.
Nine of them, weren't there?
Yeah. And you're not going to know actual prices until those bids are presented. The alternatives will be presented in that case. And then you'll look at contractors. One contractor might equal all the alternatives, and you'd still be at the right number you want to see. Depends on what number you want to see. Yeah.
But that's the schedule right now. And right now, the meeting of May 16th is tentatively scheduled for the bid award for the full remodel. So we'll probably be following that on either concurrently or as an immediate follow-on the street improvements to Lego. Because that's a street project and not really a building project, it made more sense to kind of separate out that sidewalk extension on the south side of Lego that would wrap around to Washington.
Okay, any more questions on police? Library?
Library is continuing to be designed. We had a meeting with SHKS the other day, last week I think it was. 2 weeks ago. Anyway, we're marching towards a full design development. That's that second of the four phases. There was schematic design development, construction documents, and then the actual construction itself. And so right now we're getting near the end of, and I believe the first part of March is going to be our what's called our DD, our design development meeting, our 100% DD. SHKS will come up. They will give us a presentation. It actually gives you much more detail than the schematic. The schematic, you kind of say, okay, we want kind of the building to be kind of this shape, and we'll have the kids section of it. This will come back with much more specifics. They start sizing pipes and what have you. We'll also be getting a new cost estimate, a more refined design development cost estimate. And what will probably happen is, if you remember, we have a fairly sizable contingency at schematic design phase. And what ends up happening normally is, as you get more refined, the contingency goes down, but what you lose in contingency now gets assigned to other areas because you now know you need this or that or whatever. So design development could bring down the overall cost of the project, but more than likely it simply has a shift between the unknowns to the known.
Customer Zimmerman?
What was the final outcome of SKS's request for more money than we were at that time.
We said to them that it was a little early in the process to be discussing a scope change, given that they had, at that point, probably three-quarters of the design still to go. So we thanked them for their input, but we said, we don't know whether you're going to spend more time or less time from this point forward. You may make it up or you might not make it up. Let's talk later.
We just deferred that whole conversation.
Yeah.
Councilperson Metzler?
I think we asked this before, but I want to ask it here. What sort of is the shelf life of the architectural work that we're doing? Should we not be able to put shovel to
stuff? Yeah, we were just talking about this today. Not knowing the funding for the library does bring up the uncertainty as to the time lag between when you have a full set of biddable documents and when you actually go out to bid. And as anyone would expect, there is a risk of having a full 100% set of construction drawings ready for bid and then simply put them on the shelf and wait a period of time. The couple of concerns. One is if over time building codes change. I mean, that's just a fact of life. It's not probably won't be anything huge, but that's just really the situation. If you look more long term, sometimes the uses change. We may find that we need a much smaller, a much bigger, or a much different library. Who knows? This is all supposition. But there is a risk of having a full set of designs that you would then need to rebuff, so to speak. So it's not unusual for, be it street projects or construction projects, to bring it all the way to, say, even 90% construction drawings and then say, okay, if we're not sure, let's hold off here at 90%. When the funding comes into place, we'll kick it back to that last 10%. You do a brush up on the codes. You do a new constructability analysis, a new value engineering. And that's the other side of it, too, is if a project sits around too long, you literally have new construction techniques, new construction materials that might come on the market that just weren't known when you were going to bid the project. So it's always a good idea if you believe that you are going to have a time lag to stop a little bit short of full design, wait for your funding to come in place, and then go back and refresh it, find out if there are new materials or new methods or new ways of doing things, or if that matter, if the desires of the city have changed. So
Can I follow up? Yeah. Is that customary for cities to do that, to sort of move? This is an awkward situation, I realize, mm-hmm. in some ways, that we're moving ahead at a certain level of plans and everything, and mm-hmm. but we, as far as I know, we don't have a plan for financing, which I'm estimating at about $2 million is where we're short right about now. Mm-hmm. Is that?
It's not unusual.
Okay.
It's probably more unusual for a building than it will be. It's very common for streets.
Okay.
It's extremely common at least to do a lot of preliminary engineering work.
Good.
But some street projects go so far as to have considerable amount of design done and then you stop. That's why back when the Obama stimulus money came out, you heard about these shovel-ready projects. Well, a lot of these are projects that weren't shovel-ready waiting for the stimulus, but it's shovel-ready waiting for a shovel full of cash. And
gotcha.
So in this case, it's quite common for
and
for
so
to do that.
We haven't gone to bid yet, but we are about $2 million short.
Yeah, probably a little less than that. But
with no concrete plans to find that $2 million. Gotcha.
Right.
So,
I don't know if the library would agree or the Joaquin
yeah.
Cooney Foundation would agree with the statement there's no concrete plans to go forward.
What might
they
say?
I think they would debate that.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have a concrete plan to come up with $2 million.
We don't have the ability to write a check.
Although I think that the library director would like us
place.
To do that. I believe that's her message, subtle or not so subtle. Sometimes.
Say that again, John.
That the director of the library is in the why am I figuring her name? Joan.
Joan, yes.
I think that she'd like us to figure that one out. Be, if I'm reading between the lines.
I
would
believe you were correct.
Yes.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
My question is answered.
The only one I wouldn't mind you thinking about, because it's something for us to discuss, is, and I don't know if we'd get the Joaquin Cooney Foundation to agree, but we talked about it today, is, well, why don't we proceed with site work so we install the utilities, we get the site ready, we leave a gravel site, we do the parking lot, so we use the funds we have to proceed forward with what we can do without building the building. And that's that would send a nice message to the community. It would use some funds that are there. It would take advantage of a better bidding climate. But we haven't discussed that with the library people. That's kind of a different wrinkle that we should discuss down the road. But not a bad idea, but I want you to think about that. Councilperson Zimmerman?
Speaking of the library site, the new library site, what's the status with the pizza parlor, and how does that all figured into it?
Pizza parlor stays as it is. The entrance.
I saw some people doing something.
Yeah, because the entrance to the library will be right alongside that west entrance, and there was discussion of whether to fill that well or do a retaining wall.
I think we decided on the retaining wall.
Is that what we decided?
I think so. Yeah, the issue is that there are the stairs that go down into the basement, and those stairs are on each side of the building. And on the side of the building where the parking lot is going to come in, actually you've got this hole there. So we're talking about a retaining wall, or we thought of the idea of just closing off that door and filling that in. Then that enters into the idea of how do we waterproof the building and does it really waterproof it. It's a minor issue, but it's something that we have been talking about. Most notably, today we talked about the idea of maybe moving with some site work. Because once Strider leaves their laid-on yard, even though they've done a considerable amount of work, taking out those stumps and what have you, that site, once they leave, even though it might look pretty disturbed, is not going to be ready for foundation because there's still a lot of overburden as far as the materials that would need to be excavated out and the new materials brought in. And that's something we could do to get the site even more prepared for eventual construction.
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I know that the library people don't like it when I say this, but I'm going to say it again. And I think that our students that are present who are soon to be college-bound can probably confirm it, but if you go on Google and type in paperless libraries, it'll blow your socks off how many universities and colleges have completely sold their books. They have none. Their libraries are all electronic because that's what this age group likes. They go online. They don't go over there and pull a book off the stack and open it up and research. They research online. So a lot of colleges and universities are getting all their paper. The Alumni Association at Stanford had a piece on the internet December, and they're discussing even doing that at Stanford, and that's a big library.
Well, and you're very true, but the library did react to that in terms of their original feasibility study was 25,000. They came back with 15,000, which, by the way, is what they're moving into in the next couple of weeks. But of that 15,000, a large part, there is less books in a library, and there's more computer workstations,
yeah,
and it's more of a social gathering place. You could go to the library right now. It's not empty, and they might not be doing anything with books, but they're using that space. So, yeah, they have I've heard other people say that. So, well, yeah, they adjusted to that,
yeah.
And who knows? I mean, they might not expand when we talk about expansion of this library. Well, that might not be. It might be a satellite library. It might be something different. So we'll roll into Pioneer Pavilion, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, it's looking better and better every day. Obviously, tomorrow night you're going to get a chance to go in and kind of kick the tires.
If we can get down through the snow.
Get down through the
two
snow.
Inches.
We're still working on a lot of minor issues, small missing pieces of floor mica or touch-up paint and things like that. But we really are down to the real, real minor issues. For the most part, the building is done. Now, a lot of the stuff they're doing now is just that final finish, the work that makes it look very, very nice. But I think you'll enjoy the structure. It's very light, very airy, surprisingly so. Today was a nice day, but the lights were on, and I don't even think you needed them. So it's going very well.
Councilperson Perry.
Is it totally empty right now?
Yes.
But I mean, the workers are in there. There's some compressors here and there. But for the most part, it's as empty
but
as it probably
no
ever
is. There's no furniture.
Everything.
I mean, I know the move,
right,
obviously, is
no
in
furniture
for another
no
couple
furniture
weeks. But I didn't know if there was other things that
no,
were.
No, all the rooms are empty.
When you walk in and you'll see, I guess that's a good thing. We'll kind of, so you walk in, you're prepared. Great move by the contractor. He thought of it last week. Is there's trim around the whole exterior of the business, the building. And where the bookshelves are going to go, he said, we have all this trim, and we did all the trim, and then we cut out where the books go. I go, well, store that trim back in the furnace room because when the bookshelves go, we want to restore that trim. You know, oh, we're going to throw it away. No, that's a dumb idea. Put it back in.
Put it back and save it.
But it's really, boy, you're going to be pleased. I was working down there Sunday, and a couple of people just walking by and said, well, this isn't the same building, is it? Did you start from brand new? I was like, no, it's the same building. Most people that have been in the old cave before don't believe it's the same building. Councilperson Goodrich?
That tour is at 5:30.
5:30.
I have two times here in my thing. One is 5 and one is 7. 5:30 and 7.
Well, we'll be down there about 5 and stay till whenever you want to. Whenever people want to get out of there.
Yeah. Students are invited to.
Yeah, there's a couple of areas where you'll be able to see the skeleton, or I should say the charred remains of what was once the pavilion. When you will go in the front door to the right is a large kind of a conference room that's going to be the Friends of the Library. Over in the corner by the outside wall, you'll see on the floor there's some black burn spots on the flooring because that's where part of the heater or something literally fell onto the floor and just cooked it. So they sanded it as well as they could, but it was over in a corner, so we didn't have them replace that. So there still is some charring, but more importantly, in some of the back rooms where the carpet tiles are going down, you'll see the old floor. And to look at the old floor and then just turn your head a little bit and then see the new floor. I mean, the new floor, it's a used floor. It's not a pristine, beautiful floor. There's some nicks and scrapes here and there just because it was a used floor. But it cleaned up very nicely, and I think you'll be very well impressed. Yeah, and the trim that the mayor was talking about, they're actually 2x6s. And it might be a little unusual to use 2x6s along the floor for trim, but given the scale of this building, it works out for a couple reasons. One is they're also raised off the floor about an inch and a half, and that's to allow the floor to vent. The floor has to breathe, so that's by design. And then you'll see the spots where they've left the 2x6s off, so that way the shelving can go right up against the wall and not be held out by the trim. So we can either come back later or put the trim in or not. But overall, it's,
That's Person Metzler?
But it is the original floor.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Except for the
skating floor.
You'll see where they patched it in. There was one section.
You can see it. The big section where they cut that big chunk out. But
right.
There are some other places where it had buckled that they patched it in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not looking for it, you won't see it.
And it's a very stout floor. They made a note of that. In fact, you can see years ago there was actually a retrofit done on the floor to beef it up down near where the garage doors are. You can see a nailing pattern that's a little bit different. And the contractors, they drove vehicles into this building, and they had no problems whatsoever with the deflection of the floor. So it's a very well-built.
Yeah. It was gorgeous.
Okay, any other discussions or questions? Okay, we'll roll into mayor reports. Okay, obviously tomorrow night, 5:30 to whenever, Pioneer Pavilion.
Mayor. Mr. Mayor?
We have an item, an added item. On the
I was going to do it on council reports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's kind of a council report item. Way ahead of you. Friday night, if anyone's interested, Friday night, 6 p.m. at City Hall. I'm calling it the Baseball Summit. Some baseball people were concerned about allowing girls' fast pitch softball to be integrated into the park because there's not enough baseball fields. So I'm bringing all the baseball coaches in and the Boys and Girls Club and those people, and we're going to talk baseball needs in the future of ConocoPhillips facility. 6 p.m. Friday night. Yes?
Has there been any decision on bringing the fast pitch in, or this discussion prior to the...
We're still going to bring a lease to you in terms of the parameters of the lease, but we didn't want to do the parameters of the lease until we talked to all the interested party. We saw how well that worked in terms of bringing all the neighborhood library people together, and so that was the same kind of meeting where we'll bring all these people and say, what are you looking for, what are you interested, what times you want, and we'll try to integrate the lease. So you guys will still see the lease after we have that meeting.
Great. Thank you.
When you say lease, is it referring to that old brown field house?
Yeah, you guys.
I had note of that.
You guys approved us to move forward. The Girls Fastest Softball Association wants to refurbish that field house and then have a home for girls fastest softball. But then they also want control of that field. So we'll work on that Friday night. If any are interested, Monday at 10 a.m. In 311 Grand, room 512, is the Growth Management Hearing Board, Ferndale and Whatcom County versus FutureWise before the Growth Managed Hearing Board in Bellingham. So it's 10 a.m. Monday, room 512, 311 Grand. 311 Grand's courthouse, isn't it? Yeah. So you can come and watch if you want to. March 3rd, Homeless Connect, and then plan ahead. The applications are out. March 12th, the Pink Walk, 9 a.m. at Hagen's, and that's a Saturday. And those applications are in the schools and around town now. Okay, we'll go to council reports, and I believe Councilperson Mutchler, you wanted to bring an issue forward.
Yeah, I'd like to have public discussion on the upcoming, likely, I'm assuming, vacancy of Council Member Feria. I think basically I appreciate what Mr. Taylor has done over the weekend when most of us are on vacation or taking weekends off. He's working very hard to serve our city. And I think some questions have just come up as to what we may or may not properly do vis-a-vis that opening coming up. So,
what are your questions?
Well, I think the general question is what may we do or may not do in the next few months? And I think the answer to that question has changed a little bit, even as of today. So, Mr. Taylor, where are we at on that?
Yeah, so I'll give you a basic rundown.
And let me just say, what we can and can't do may be different than what we choose to do. I'm not
right.
necessarily assuming we want to do a certain thing or another, but
yeah.
What are the options?
So just the basics are on the set of frequently asked questions, but, you know, state law controls in this regard, RCW 42-12 is where the guidelines are for vacancies. Both setting out what a vacancy is, how a vacancy occurs, and what you guys can all do when it happens, you know, to do an appointment. The very basic principle here is that a vacancy occurs, especially in this case, upon the effective date of resignation. And the way I had initially read the law and the way I initially spoke with a member of the Municipal Research Services Center, we were on the same page that the council could do absolutely nothing until the resignation date. And then the Municipal Research Services Center had another employee say something completely opposite. So I called back and prodded the gentleman I spoke with a little bit more. I think maybe he was busy when I spoke with him and kind of was just like, oh, yeah, you're right, good work, have a good day. And felt pretty good at the time, but felt pretty dumb when I had to call him back. So we're all on the same page now. The basic principle is that the council can do nothing in terms of appointing someone to replace Councilmember Feria until the effective date of resignation. But if you choose to do so, you could advertise in far in advance. You could potentially do your interviews far in advance. But the vote itself on that appointment cannot take place until after the effective date of resignation. Councilmember Feria has obviously said that's any time between perhaps June 10th and mid-August. So that's where you guys have a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of options before you. State law says that the council, once the effective date of resignation happens, the council has 90 days to make an appointment. And if you don't, state law technically says that the decision then goes to the county council. If they don't make a decision within another 90 days, then it goes to the governor. Although state law says that, though, there have been cases in the past where those other governmental bodies, not necessarily in Whatcom County, but around the state, have deferred to local control and said, we're going to respect your process. We know that you're waiting beyond the 90 days because of an upcoming election. I believe Governor Greg Ward did that with King County Council. The time frame had elapsed, and she just said, I'm not doing it. I'm going to wait. And eventually the state legislature got involved in that case, but that's a completely different thing. So. So in terms of what you guys could do the two controlling laws, 42-12, says when a vacancy happens, when it occurs, and then the Open Public Meetings Act controls for the rest of it. Your interviews have to be done in public. Your decision must be made in public. The Open Public Meetings Act says that you can go into executive session to discuss the qualifications of the applicant. You can't take a straw poll. You can do nothing. It's just like any other executive session. You You need to not make any decision whatsoever. You need to not hint with each other in terms of what you think the decision might be. It's only to discuss the qualifications of that person. Oftentimes, that can get a little hairy because you guys don't want to embarrass potential applicants. I've seen that in other governments. But the fact is that discussion needs to take place out in the open. So that's pretty most basic stuff, and I'd rather take questions. So,
Councilperson Goodrich first, and then Perry, and then Pessy.
Is there any problem or deal, like we, I know it was mentioned, so I think at the committee level, of limiting who can apply? In other words, saying we got an election coming up, some people are going to file to run, saying that those that are going to fill out the term cannot be people that have filed.
That's at your discretion.
We have that ability to make that decision.
State law is very generic and intentionally so. It's designed to make it so that you guys really control the process as much as possible. They say that you appoint someone. They don't give you any direction on how. So really, if the council feels it's appropriate to avoid appointing someone who does want to seek the office, that's your purview. It really is. And other entities have done the exact same thing.
Bellingham did that with the mayor.
Bellingham did that. Walken County Council did that. Recently they appointed, or
warden,
technically the executive appointed the ward, but they really were interested in perhaps not appointing someone that was going to run to. And council member Nelson had committed quite vigorously to not wanting to run again. And so he was chosen and he didn't run. So. And that really comes down to, you could, I guess, intentionally not appoint someone who's going to run, but it depends on when filing week is. Someone could technically, before filing week, choose to, if Councilmember Feria resigned before filing week, and you appointed someone and they had vowed to you not to run, they could still run. You can't stop them. So she's technically, the first time she said she might resign is the last day of filing week.
I think the earliest, my kid's last day of school is the 14th of June. I double-checked, actually. So I will most likely not be resigning until they at least – I'm not leaving until they finish school, and that would be the first weekend after they finish school, which happens to coincide with the end of filing week. So, and isn't there even the option of not appointing anybody at all if my resignation falls 90 days or less between that date and election?
Correct. Yeah.
Is that what it has? Is that
they
what
lost us 90 days. So if you didn't resign
August
until
7th
if
or
it was
something-ish.
Correct, yeah. If it was mid-August,
yeah.
The 90-day time frame would still be open by the time the election rolled around. And so, that's a policy question for the council. If the council doesn't want to appoint someone, it would just wait for voters to have their say. You can do that.
Councilperson Pezzi?
Was that all you had?
Yeah.
I completely agree with Sam's assessment, with the only exception is we do have some council procedures in our current council stuff, and I don't think they conflict the state law, so I think we're good there. I like the idea of at least starting our process of deciding, first and foremost, do we want to fill the vacancy, because we do have an election. I'd like to get a little more a second opinion maybe from our legal if we can restrict the applicants based on their desire to run. I mean, what's next? I mean, do we want to restrict, by age, gender?
I'm sorry.
I don't think we can banning them from
applying.
You're
just
making
a personal decision not to appoint someone. That's completely different than
barring them
from applying.
I totally agree with that, but that wasn't the way the question was posed, I think we should be forthcoming in our application process and have a question: are you planning to apply? And tell people if that's our policy decision, we do not want to pick somebody. That's totally within. I totally agree with that, but I don't think we can restrict who can apply. So I think the first decision is, do we want to, fill it? My personal belief is, yes, we're potentially looking at an eighth period of time, which is 6 months, June to December, and which is approximately an eighth period of time that a council is in office. So I think it's an important decision, important to replace it. It gives, that's the way our system is set up, seven council members. So I'd like to, you know, if that is the decision to replace it, I think we should start the process and looking at the application. I don't think there's any rush to get the process going. The earliest was June, so it's still February. So, yeah, that's where I'm kind of at right now.
One point of just the person, if they ran, as soon as the election is certified, they're in that day.
So it's middle, not until the
middle
end of
November.
The year.
Middle of November.
Well, yeah, soon as the election is certified in November, they're
November 29th.
But you're still right. That's pretty close to December.
November.
Yeah.
November 29th, I think. Yeah,
good,
3 weeks after election day.
Good point.
So you're remember what Steve said.
Yeah.
It's essentially 5 months.
Okay. Councilperson Hansen?
A lot of this process will change based on if Connie resigns after the filing period and one person files, why wouldn't you want to just appoint that person? Because the only option for opposition would be by write-in, and we know how successful that might be. So you don't want to make that decision in advance because you want to make it's happened before where only one person would file for a position. And it happened to me. It happened to Lloyd.
Well, like four position, three specific. I see.
Oh, yeah, saying. Right. Yeah. That only one person would file. Well, that would throw a completely different look at the picture for me because if there were five people applying to fill the interim and one of them were the person that has filed and it's the only person that filed, my feeling is, let's give them some experience early.
Yeah, bring them in.
So I'm a little uncomfortable with making those kinds of decisions until we get down to that point. I think it's okay to discuss it, but my own personal preference is to say I don't want to create an incumbent. But there is a situation, I just outlined it, where I would create an incumbent. It gets really sticky if there's multiple people who have applied, who have filed for the position, and the council then picks one of those people. That's a brash political move on the part of the council at that point. Essentially, the council is voting to say we want two people to vote for this person.
Councilperson Mutchler.
These types of situations, it seems to me, occur one of two ways. One is the sudden resignation, which we see happen sometimes, and the one that Connie's provided for us, which pretty long period of time to think about this. We don't have to do anything tonight or next week or the week after. I think the decision is it is a short term, three, 4 months. I think we need to wrestle with that. I'm inclined to fill it because I – not personally, but I think the citizens would like to see it filled. I've talked to a number, and you fill it. If that's the direction we go, we're very fortunate. We're extremely fortunate. We have 3 months, 4 months to think about how we want to do this in a way that will serve the city in the best possible way. I'm not quite sure how that is. But it's interesting just in a day here, just my thinking about it has changed just in lieu of the fact that we can do pretty much almost all of the work except make a decision. The nice thing about that is I like to see interested citizens start sitting in those chairs back there. It's a big learning curve. We all know that. I also think it's neat that Connie, she can't vote on it, but she can be part of the process the next 3 or 4 months and helping guide us and her, what kind of person she thinks. We're not beholden to her except for one vote. But I just think it's a neat opportunity we have. And I like to encourage us to do it respectfully and find a great win-win for everybody on something like this. And maybe we won't fill it, but I'd like us to consider it and maybe kind of consider a pathway to doing this in a way that the citizens would be proud of us.
Councilman Zimmerman?
Two things. One, to clarify your comment. If the position is vacant, no matter who gets elected, they immediately take
So it's certified.
Right, not that we, yeah. So even if we appointed somebody in. And the other one was just really as Steve may point out, the dynamics of having seven especially during budget time, while we anticipate things, and it would be nice to have someone up here, on board even sooner than August. So if you would consider that.
Yeah, no pressure.
know that, but I mean, when I think, you know, one thing my wife and I talk about from time to time is I would not want to move again another household, and it's a huge, huge undertaking.
We have to do very little of it. We have people come and they pack it all up and put it in storage, pack some of it up and ship it for us.
They just say,
it for us. Yeah.
Instead of needing, well, then we'll just, hey, go and find your replacement.
I'm trying. Working on that.
Go, hold the sign up. Hold the sign up. Help me.
We're not feeling too sorry for you. Was that it?
Yeah.
Councilperson Goodrich?
This is probably more for Councilmember Hansen. Didn't we have a council member, I want to say, 5 years ago or something, that had to leave because of health? She on the council?
Marianne Elder.
Yeah, Marianne. How did I don't remember how the council replaced her.
Well,
the mayor replaced her.
It's
where
been
was she in her?
Lancaster appointed the replacement.
No. We've had, since I've been on the council, three resignations. Tom Canning was replaced by Mr. Lancaster. And then Marianne Elgar and Elliot.
Jim Elliot.
And essentially, we've always had the same process. There's an interview. We did an interview the last time. The time before, it was more they stood in front of us and stated their qualifications, and we didn't ask questions. We've done that as well. We did one time. Tom Canning resigned. It was within that 3 months, and we chose not to appoint someone. I said Lancaster was appointed. Lancaster was running at that point, and Jerry won the election for Tom Canning to see, but he was not appointed by the council because the council chose not to. And there, sometimes you don't get very many applicants. For that one, there were two applicants. The one thing I was going to the picture changes considerably if the resignation's in June or the resignation's in August. Because if it's in August, you're within that 3 month period because it's the 22nd or the 29th, whichever it is, of November when it's certified. That's within that 3 month period. I sort of agree with Lloyd. It's nice to have seven because budgetary matters, ties can't be broken by the mayor.
If it's in August, it's not going to be the end of August. For it to be 3 months, it'd have to be August 22nd. Yeah. I'm not waiting that long. I know that.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Person Lechler?
So I'm just trying in my own mind think of a way council can move forward. And, again, we don't do anything tonight or next, whatever. But it seems to me that I would be interested in the sense of this council as to whether we would, because it's going to be a short period. It could be the shortest. What's the shortest? It could be 3 months, or it's probably still be 3.5 months.
The earliest I would see resignation would be like June 16th, which is that first week and after my kids get out of school.
The latest,
Mike, I don't know, second week of August, if I can push it that long.
Yeah.
Because I want to get over there before my kids start school and start taking time.
And even if we weren't within the 90 days, right?
90. I'm not going to wait till August 22nd to 29th. Yeah. I plan to be gone well before then, and it would have to be there for it to be literally 90 days.
Yeah.
You know. But like Mel said, the odds of the county council appointing somebody for two weeks.
So we really have the option of not filling it. It's a very real option, even if we're outside the 90 days.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for council is there a sense of this council as that they would wish to fill that for a short period of time or leave it empty? I think we have either option, and that kind of dictates how we go forward.
Councilmember, if I can interject really quick. Councilmember Malfesi did note that the council does have rules on this. I noted in the frequently asked questions that state law doesn't require you to have an application or a notification process, but your rules do require that you notice the public, which makes sense. I mean, it's good to do that, and have an application. And it does state that the council will draw up an application form which contains relevant information to answer set questions posed by the council. So if you did want to move forward, probably you said you were wondering what's the next step.
Yeah.
Developing some type of application amongst the council members.
That'd be a committee.
Would probably be
but what I'm saying is the first decision is whether there might be just
yeah.
Seven of us that want to say, you know, we're just comfortable leaving that empty. And that, in which case, then it's a done deal.
I just want to note that you do are required to do an application. So if you're going to take next steps, you'll need to spend some time.
I understand. Developing that. And so we do need the time, and it's nice to have the time, especially if the goal would be, it'd be nice if we're going to appoint someone to appoint that person immediately, pretty quick.
This person, Pezzi?
I have my hand up. Let's see. I think the next steps is to notice the community that we do want to replace it. You know, depending on the time frame, there are some variables we're not going to have control over, but noticing our intent to do it. So maybe one of our first next moves is to have a council discussion resulting in a vote. Do we want to fill this position? Because if it is, no, we don't want to fill it, then, we don't have to do anything else.
It really depends on the time frame.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
We have the vote regardless of the time frame. We still have the vote. Councilperson Ingram is next, then Hanson.
This is for Sam. Sam, in our application process, can we tell any prospective candidate that fills out an application to be appointed to this vacant seat that part of the process is that we're not going to vote on that until after the resignation time, but in the interim, we would require them to come and sit in that audience and start getting a learning curve?
I don't think you can require them to sit in the audience.
Probably suggest.
I think you could say preference will be given to people we notice.
Yeah.
Extra credit if they speak, too.
But if you're up there and saying, I saw this person sitting back there, that's what I'm going to vote for. That's your decision.
And front row.
Okay, we can do it that way.
I like say, marathon. Yeah, last guy standing.
Yeah, last guy standing.
Yeah, if you wanted to say that in application, I don't know that you need to.
I can't imagine coming on here cold. I mean, I sat out in that audience every single meeting, including budget meetings, including the times when Jerry would take all the chairs out and I had to sit on the floor because I wanted to learn. I didn't know if I was going to be elected or not, but I wanted to learn. No, I had to do it. I had to do it twice.
You know, you raise a good point, but I would say that there are probably members of your community that you're discounting a little bit that probably are very well versed in government that could be interested in this. I just haven't had time, but I mean, they could be involved in government now. You know, we've already had initial contacts from some people that I know are very familiar with how governments work, who live in Ferndale, who are interested, who haven't necessarily put the time in to sit here, but they're busy with their lives. And so I would just just point that out to you. It's going to be your decision, but there are people that are interested that don't sit here all the time who are definitely well educated about government.
Councilperson Hanson, then Mutchler.
I was going to point out that the election is on the 8th of November. It's a late election, as elections go. It may be that on the evening of the 8th or the morning of the 9th, you'll know who that new council person is going to be. You don't have to wait for certification. If you choose to delay and not appoint, you could
appoint
on the 9th. You could have a special council meeting and appoint the person who has now appeared to have won the election the night before. So you could have a new council person. The next council meeting is not until the 21st, which is almost certification. It's shortly thereafter. But that should be in the mix, in the consideration. There's 3 months, and you're required to appoint 3 months. It could be that you can appoint as early as the 9th and appoint the person that's just been elected. It is an option.
Councilperson Mutchler?
I'd like to make a motion tonight that this council move forward with the steps necessary according to our council procedures that are in our city stuff. That sounds really good. To fill the spot that Council Member Ferrier is going to leave open for us.
Second. Have you got that wording?
Can you get the spirit of that?
Yeah, that spirit.
Include stuff.
Be clear enough on what you want to
include stuff.
And move in second. Further discussion?
What do you consider the next step?
What's the motion again?
Just make the announcement.
We'd have to do an announcement. We'd have to come up with a questionnaire.
That's assuming. You're moving along the lines of filling it.
John, are you you were asking a vote that this council would vote that people know that we're going to appoint, we are going to make the decision to appoint someone for the remainder of council person.
Once she actually resigns. But
it could be. Reach a certain date, it could be 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be appointed for as little as a 2 week period.
I just think it's premature.
I'll go to Council President because he was with
I did a quick question either Mel or clerk could handle. Filing date, what's the filing week?
It's
June 6th.
6th to the 10th.
6th to the 10th. June?
I agree with Paul. Doesn't that seem premature if I haven't even stated when resignation is on whether or not you're going to.
It may be immaterial, but at least you're stating to people that you would.
Well, I bought my cemetery plot.
What I'm can I answer your question real quick? Yeah.
Plan ahead.
The intent of my motion is whether the vacancy is 2 months or 4 months. I'd like to see us fill it. That's my opinion, and it doesn't really matter to me how the length of it that you give us. If that's my feeling, I'd like us to get started now on the questions and things like that that our procedures require, and I'd like to include you in that since you're still here.
Yeah.
Councilperson Hanson.
Frankly, I am not ready to approve tonight that we are going to definitely fill that position. Too many unknowns. We don't know whether it's going to be a June or an August resignation date. The earliest we're going to know who has filed. To make a commitment tonight that we absolutely are going to fill it, I'm sorry, no, I'm not ready to do that.
Councilperson Goodrich?
I'd like to make a friendly amendment, if possible, that this, instead of being decided here tonight, that we send it to a council committee for further discussion and recommendation by them. What committee do you think?
Finance and
administration. You could say table. You could actually be a vote table to committee.
You don't need to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you could just make a vote.
Now I make a motion that we table this to the committee. And what committee do you think this is?
Admin finance.
Finance and administration. Technically, like
employees. Yeah, admin finance committee.
You can make another motion, even though one motion's already on the table.
Yeah, it's a motion to table. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll second it.
I'm kind of inclined, I don't know.
Speak to the motion.
Yeah, I am. I'm not sure what a committee is going to be able to decide or. I mean, we all kind of know what's on the, on the table here, and so I'm kind of inclined not to table it and just make a general decision tonight, and I think there's enough latitude in John's wording that we're not committing ourselves to anything absolute.
John made it very clear. We will replace. There's no latitude to that. The time frame's not been set, but that's in his motion. Is it correct?
Yeah.
So now we're discussing whether we're going to vote to
table this.
You were discussing that. So you
yeah, right. I thought I was. I'm not sure if he was.
You're correct. Okay, so, Councilperson Muxley?
Yeah, I just wanted to know the consensus of council, and that's why I made the motion. And because I really don't know your opinions, and I know better your opinions now. I'm comfortable with tabling it, but I would still like to see it hopefully come to a vote. We do have time.
Yes, Will? Do you have another comment? Okay. So we have that motion to table it. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. So
I'll throw it in.
You were okay.
So we know the sooner.
This person, Malpezzi and Zimmerman, voted no.
So it's fine.
It's tabled to administration and finance.
I'm sorry, was that the most immediate Finance Administration Committee where we just set up the sweet impact fee discussion that we're going to have for 2 hours?
I think we probably
an hour and a half.
To the next, or put it off
to
the next
Purvey, one. You just said table to committee. I just want to make sure that it wasn't the next one.
That's
a pretty intense discussion. So.
Yeah, we have time.
Okay, thank you.
Well, if you have time, we'll do it. If not, it's a bumpable item.
Honey, come up with something.
Okay, so any other council reports? Councilperson Ingram.
California sucked.
Okay.
Okay, strike that.
Thursday morning, WTA will vote on a new employee contract with their drivers and with the union, essentially. I happen to be privy to what that contract's going to say, and it has been voted on by the union, so it's just really the board that does not know at this point. It's going to set a precedent for all public employee unions in Whatcom County. It will be a positive precedent. We vote Thursday morning.
I have a question, Councilman. At the last council meeting, you said that there's a the board wasn't going to accept the one hand thing. I was wondering if what kind of happened.
I started out the meeting by telling them, because I expected this lengthy debate, especially between Kremen and Pike, that I was going to enact Robert's Rules of Order and that they were going to not speak out of turn. We never do that here. So they were not going to be allowed to speak out of turn, that they would be ruled out of order if they did, and that I would recognize them in the order that they got my attention. And the other part of Robert's Rules, which we don't necessarily always follow, is that everyone gets an opportunity to speak before anybody gets to speak a second time.
Ooh, that's
good. That's in Robert's Rules. So
somebody calls a question.
Well, that's an interruptible motion, but that's all right. So I went through this speech, and I said that, of course, this is up to you. If you would rather have a different kind of format, more of a free-for-all, you tell me what kind of a meeting you want me to run. Absolutely. Organized, So first thing, Mayor Pike says, I'm going to put the motion on the floor so that we can have discussion. Moved, seconded. And I called for a discussion, looked around the room, no hands. All those in favor say aye, and it was 8-0. The battling, if you will, had gone on outside of the meeting, and they had decided that they were going to accept the plan, and that was it. It was all over. I had Agron, and what I did tell them was that from now on, all of your meetings are going to be run exactly that way, because I like getting out of there in 20 minutes.
Councilperson Ingram, then Zimmerman.
I'll give a follow-up to my previous statement. The weather was worse than it was here. I kept watching the weather on my laptop. The temperature in Ferndale, California, was colder. It was wetter. I've never driven through such heavy snowfall in my life. It was just a horrific trip down. The event itself was stellar. It was just fabulous. We fed a ton of people, a ton of shrimp. Everybody went away fat, happy, and dumb. My preliminary from my organizer down there is that we raised somewhere right at $8,000.
Wow, that's impressive. Good job.
And if anybody wants tickets to Beauty and the Beast and a really great pasta feed, come see me.
I got them.
For Public Works Director. In the alleyway between Hamlin and Sterling, there was a 3-inch line that was just hanging out there. And I was wondering, what is it, a drain line? And where did it hook up to? And it was coming right down the alleyway. How'd they handle that?
I'd like to check on that, but it sounds like it was just. Is it still there?
Yeah. I just noticed it the other day.
Yeah, it's there.
That's not what the mayor suggested this morning. I don't know why we have that entrance on Main Street to that.
Thank
I think we
ought to
just
much.
Go that entrance.
Why don't we?
I think it's a dangerous
yep.
alley when entrance on the
street.
Very
good.
All right now,
too. We kind of we
were talking
about that
about
earlier when they came up.
Oh, on Main Street right before the new wall?
It's time to
do
it.
It's time. It breaks up.
Other people agree with me.
It's
like everybody.
There's the one that's right over here.
Where's Louise? Oh, there he is back there.
Okay, so any other council reports? Councilperson Malpezzi.
I want to see if we can quickly clear up. Is there any decision on the Arts Commission meeting on Wednesday? It's tomorrow. I've seen a couple emails, but I'm just looking for.
Oh, you have a meeting tomorrow.
I sent out an email, I guess it was this morning, saying that, the pavilion tour is the same time tomorrow night, and that I was voting that we postpone the meeting and cancel it, but I haven't had any response.
Just that one lady that sent.
But if I don't go, then they don't have a quorum. They can't have a meeting anyway.
You did get one response from Ellen, is it?
Ellen McGanny?
Yeah, she said Friday or Monday would work for her, but
okay,
that's the only one.
I didn't read my email yet.
All right, I'll stand by to stand by.
Okay. No other council reports. Department report. City administrator.
Nothing.
Treasurer.
Our budget book is on the website.
Feel free. Thank you. Way to go, clerk. What a guy.
Thanks for getting it on there, Chad.
Public Works. Clerk.
Oh, thank you.
Obviously, no report from the empty chair that's usually occupied by our police chief.
He's in Bellevue. He went to Bellevue this afternoon.
Okay, Council, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We're all adjourned.
I thought it was a friendly way. This is amazing.
Okay.
That's a
fight. Yeah, what kind of pasta?
My wife would be home early.
With meatballs or not?
I mean,
that's fine.
No.